This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Numbers Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department, quick lane, routine inspections, difficult to handle at all, at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to be joined by the Scotty Scheffler of the region, the outstanding Nate Bauer, sir. Welcome.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Great to see you today, by the way. So,
of course, always an exciting occasion on a Monday afternoon James Franklin press conference.
So let me ask you something from a business point of view. What's better for business, continued winning or what happened on Saturday?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I think continued winning, honestly. You know, there's a buildup of excitement. I would say this: look, the reality of the expanded playoff. Certainly, you know, I've spent the last 36 hours buried in the bunker with Penn State fans, right? And I think
Can I interrupt for a second? So, in other words, you're saying I'm the first sane person you've talked to in 36 hours?
You know what? My wife and kids, they count a little bit, but yes, you are the first Penn State adjacent adult that I've spoken to that is feeling like undeterred. You know. There was a settling down period. Certainly, there were a lot of people upset, but I think that the expanded playoffs allows for a perspective on this that is less, you know, necessarily reactionary, right? We have entered the, you know, this as well as anybody. We have entered the age in which the only solution ever for any setback of any variety is to fire everyone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Fire the head coach, fire position coaches, fire the athletic directors. Anybody who is any association
broadcaster
must lose their job.
Broadcaster.
And what's that?
Broadcaster.
Broadcaster, yeah, play-by-play.
Absolutely.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. I'm out.
You know, and so I think there has been, you know, certainly you saw some of those reactions from the national media, but it's very strange. There's an inverse phenomena happening where locally there is a better grasp now of where Penn State football sits in terms of its consistency, its success, in the national college football landscape than even some national perspectives. Like it has flipped to where people understand, hey, James Franklin's guidance and stewardship of the Penn State football program has been exceptionally good for Penn State. Is it where Penn State wants it to be? Is it where James Franklin wants it to be? Is that the result anybody wanted within that football program? Of course not. But there is still something to play for and still something that, you know, this is a program and a team that very much has an opportunity ahead of it if it handles its business moving forward.
But how quickly was that realized by those who are so, by those who are so passionate. I mean, the because look, these people are passionate. So I got that part, right? And you can't have a great program unless you get passionate fans. So I appreciate the passion. How quickly did the gut-wrenching of it and the passion of that, how long did it take to get to the realistic part? Now, wait a minute, it's not over.
Yeah, I think it took until yesterday afternoon, honestly. The seven stages of grief. You got to walk them through it. And I think I've carved out a little bit of a niche for myself as what I hope to be a voice of reason, right? Acknowledging shortcomings and acknowledging the good things, right? Just kind of trying to lay out the way things are in reality more so than in the minds of reactionary opinions, right? I'm not a take guy. That's not what I do. We kind of held hands and walked through it on Sunday afternoon, talking about all the 50,000 foot view of Pat Kraft and Neely Bendapudi and Matt Schuyler and all of the different people that have created an atmosphere for success for Penn State football that didn't really exist previously. And so this specific instance is not the result that reflects all of the work that has gone into this, but does not deter the overall effort. Right, there are still things about Penn State football that are very much worthy of the optimism that certainly James Franklin has, and all of the people that are working tirelessly to get this program on the level that it needs to be. The issue is it is imperative, right, on James Franklin and his staff and the players, everybody involved, to actually get those results to reflect that effort. And I think that this afternoon at his press conference, he made that pretty painfully clear, right? This is, they are past the time of, hey, you played them close, that you can put a feather in your cap for playing them close. That's over. They got to win these games. They had an opportunity to do it. They didn't in a particularly painful way. If they had lost by 20, it's a different conversation today, but instead you lost being stood up at the goal line with four chances. So it is what it is.
You lost by 6 yards, 3 yards in the end of the first half, and 3 yards in the fourth quarter.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah, it's 27-20. You find the 6 yards. And you've got to be able to find the 6 yards. I mean, that's part. You got to find them, and they didn't find them.
You gotta lose limbs, right? Like it is, and it's easy for me to say from the comfort of my couch, right? But there was too much effort, too much, and I hate bringing money into it, but like too much money spent, too much brain power, too many smart people, and too much physical effort, all culminating in that moment to fall short in that moment. That's the reality. Andy Kotelnicki came to Penn State to cash in that moment. Right, Katron out, the offensive line, all the things that the offensive line has done to get itself at a better spot as a unit over the past 4 years, right? Phil Troutwine's work, you name it. All of that stuff. Too much went into it to come out empty in those spots.
Okay, so his reaction at the press conference, I know it did, you know, he would have loved to have talked about Washington, but that wasn't going to be part of the press conference. What did you think of his answer?
I thought he was excellent, honestly. I thought that, his ability to really dig, he wasn't dismissive of anything, Right. There weren't any questions today that he just shed and said, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to get into it. Like, he dove into the pain in a lot of ways. Right. I mean, just the whole, like, it was almost, I think, cathartic to him to have that opportunity to clarify and talk through everything that went into that game. Right. Because, and this is the reality here, did it come down to a handful of plays? Yes. That's true of both sides.
Yep.
Will Howard's fumble, right? How improbable to fumble through the back of the end zone, right, before stepping out of bounds. I mean, the replay reviews, the penalties, all of these different, right? I mean, honestly, for the Ohio State cornerback, even as it's Trey Wallace's responsibility to catch that pass, to come away with an interception in that situation, there was just so much to digest, and he really dove into a lot of it, to all of it. And I think my major takeaway is it is a thing for Penn State football under James Franklin, like, undeniable. There's a lot of other stuff that is kind of dumb, right? Records against top five teams is just a dumb stat. It takes no thought. It's eye candy for haters. But losses after the first loss of the season, that's real.
That's real. That's very real.
That is very real. It is painful, and it is something that Penn State has had a really tough time with under James Franklin. And his digestion of the players' response, how those guys got through it and talked about it, the way that they broke down the game in the media room afterwards, I think showed from his perspective, it reflected positivity. There was a good vibe of people being willing to engage with their shortcomings, not pointing fingers at each other. There was plenty of opportunity for the defense to say, we did our job, they didn't do theirs. And you didn't see that. You didn't hear that after that game. So,
I think it's
going to be an interesting week here.
You know, it was interesting, though, because, look, obviously I have a much greater opportunity to talk to players one-on-one in just conversation. And in talking to a couple of the players last night, they said the same thing that was said to you guys in the press conference. We're going to see this team again. All right.
Right.
You know, the fact that they believe that, I think, is important. Now they got to go out this week, and they've got to start the pathway to making it happen against a very good team.
Yeah. I think, and there has been a lot of assumption being made by the fan base that the next 4 weeks are a cakewalk, right? Exactly. Like, Penn State's not going to see a team with a ranking next to its name over the next 4 weeks, and so therefore, Penn State should just march through that the rest of the schedule. Not accurate. Minnesota is no joke.
They're good.
That game is on the road. Washington is playing good football, has been playing good football, and has an opportunity. The time change is, right, they don't have to play at 9 a.m. West Coast. This is going to be a night game. They're going to be ready. All of that time change difference is going to be mitigated based on those circumstances. So if Penn State does not shake off its issues and make actual improvements, right, forget all the soft sciences stuff, they need to be a better football team in execution and performance than they were on Saturday. Because if they're not, they will lose this game.
Right. It's a good quarterback. It's a good running back. And Coleman's a really good running back. Rodgers is very good. Boston, Latu, the wide receiver tight end combo. Bruner on defense, Carson Bruner. Now, that's a football player. Every team would love to have that guy. I mean, we'd love to have that guy. So they've got players, without question. for you, if they were to win on Saturday night, mentally, what does that do? Because you just talked about can't make one loss be two.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. It is again, it's imperative. They have to get through these next four games to do what they intended to do at the start of this season. I think that if they can put a good performance together, obviously win. Like, I think it doesn't have to be a blowout.
Just one.
Bottom line, you got to win, and then just playing better, right? Yeah. Getting yourself into fewer third and long situations offensively, getting off the field defensively in third and long situations, right? All of those things. Unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, that kind of stuff. Like, if you can take strides in getting the running game going, right? This offense is, I'm not going to call it a mess, but it's not great, right? It hasn't been great for a few weeks. And so finding some stability, I do think, is important for these guys moving forward.
Yeah, can I ask you about the Reed one's an obvious, you can't take your helmet off. Here's the issue I have with the Elliott Washington play. All right. And I realize if you're going to go technically by the letter of the law, but to me, that's a feel for the game thing by the official. Because I did talk to people that were on the sideline. They said Elliott said nothing to him. They said, no, he didn't say anything to him. He was actually looking down at him because he didn't want to step on him. Right, because he had to go back out on the field because he's on special teams. It's fourth down. Right? And I just thought that was one of those I sat back, and I know Nate James didn't turn it in, but to me that's a feel for the game call, and I think the official missed the feel for the game part of it.
Pat Chambers used to say time and place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Time and place. As an official, you got to know in that set of circumstances, right? A critical third down stop in that moment, in that game, that in a situation and circumstance that 95% of the time those officials let go.
Yep.
To make that call, it's just, you know, look, I wrote it yesterday. Franklin, after the game, said all the right stuff about discipline and, you know, you can't do that and blah, right? All that stuff is fine publicly. But they were ticked. They were steamed over that call. And I get it. Some fans are, you know, what, like the pearl clutching side of things of, this is such undisciplined. No, it's not. It happens all the time. You might not like it, but officials have a choice in that circumstance whether to call that or not. And 95% of the time, they don't. So the fact that they did in that, it changed the game in a lot of ways. Is it the reason that they lost? No. And nobody would argue that. But was it a critical thing that you have to take into account and acknowledge? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Basketball gets rolling. Interesting what Mike's doing. He's got three of his returning guys with one group and two of his returning guys with another group, which I think is great because they can help bring along other people that are getting ingrained in the system. What's your thought on this team?
Yeah, I think he is intending to play a lot of guys.
Yep.
And have a deep bench and just throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks in the best way possible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're going into the season, so you're not exactly sure what you have anyway until they play some other people.
Yep.
You got five guys coming back that have logged a ton of minutes, have a ton of success in their college careers, a ton of experience. But then you also got guys who haven't, right? Who either haven't done it at Penn State or even in the transfer portal really have more of a limited, right? They're not on. They didn't bring in seniors and fifth year guys in the transfer portal. Right. They brought in sophomores and one junior.
Yep.
So there's gonna be a feeling out period of who plays well together. Who, right? You know, Ace is gonna be on the court. You know, Yannick's gonna be on the court.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of mix and matching that he can do, and I think that he intends to do over the next month and a half. I mean, really, he has to do it for the whole season. But at minimum, through the early part of the non-conference schedule to see what groups click together and which ones generate the most positive results.
Always a pleasure. I know you don't like to brag about your Walker Cup championships, but that's okay. Appreciate it very much, though.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's very important that they're local. They know where we're coming from.
To request your free Geisinger Medicare guide, call 866-787-6264. That's 866-787-6264.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Listen for Bucknell Bison Football on WKOK, streaming on the SBC, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey apps, and at BucknellBison.com.
He'll take it to the 10. He'll run over a man at the 5. He will score 6. Touchdown! Your Bucknell Bison!
Saturday, the Bison host Fordham. The Geisinger Orthopedics and Sports Medicine pregame show starts at 12:30 with kickoff at 1. Follow the herd all season on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
CBS News Special Report.
Certainly a happy day for the GOP.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell reacting to the election with Republicans taking control of the Senate and Donald Trump's win. CBS's Jared Hill.
Trump's campaign strategy to appeal to people who don't vote frequently in key battleground states worked, ultimately putting him well over the required 270 electoral votes.
Aaron Navarro reports we will hear from Kamala Harris in a few hours.
We expect her to acknowledge the results, and we also expect her to call former President Trump at some point this afternoon to officially concede.
Jill Schlesinger on the markets.
Stocks jumped at the opening bell as investors bet that a second Trump presidency will usher in an extension of the tax cuts that went into effect in the beginning of 2018, as well as a light regulatory touch.
And on Wall Street, the Dow is up more than 1,400 points. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Who doesn't love a patriotic parade? We all do, but especially kids. Attending a Memorial Day or Veterans Day parade is a great opportunity to teach children what service members have done for our country and to thank them for their service. On Veterans Day, we salute our veterans across the land and right here at home.
Everyone at Susquehanna Valley Limousine wants to offer this thank you to our veterans of all eras and from all walks of life. Thank you for keeping this the land of the free and the home of the brave. From your grateful friends at Susquehanna Valley Limousine, where luxury meets convenience.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777 or biglou.com.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know that my super hydrated skin is the second largest organ of my body? The first is my heart. Old Spice. Men have skin too. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. 24/7 renewing moisture. With daily use.
sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love, with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
In today's digital world, you can't afford to be lagging behind on all the latest details. Hi, Kim Komando here. Join me for the Kim Komando Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and you'll be in the know about everything digital. I'm here every Saturday from 10 till 1. It's just me, you, and the newest digital details every weekend. Be part of the largest nationally syndicated weekend show, the Kim Komando Show, Saturdays from 10 till 1, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. No question the best, because they take care of all of the insurance needs and do everything they can to save you money. Well, you know what? There are certain shows you just can't wait to get in the studio because you know you've got a guest that's just not only a great friend, but just so smart, and that's my good friend Jerry Dulac. Jerry, it's great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Well, Steve, likewise, and of course, it's been 4 days since I was extremely disappointed after that loss to Penn State. So I always look forward. I was telling someone yesterday, I said, I might end up asking Steve more questions than he asks me.
You ask away whenever you want. That's always fine.
That goal line a failure, and then, of course, the kind of, quote, fluke interception in the end zone. I mean, they had their chances, and but they couldn't stop their run, and, you know, what can you say? You know, I hate to see it.
Right, that's what I told everybody. They said, what's the difference? Is they got to find 6 yards, three in the first half and three in the fourth quarter.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So, Jerry, the Steelers, now the trade deadline's there, and they acquire Mike Williams from the Jets. You know, and if this were a couple of years ago, I think it would be like, wow. Yet you feel like at this stage he's just another guy. What did they think he can add to their receiving core?
Well, because I think with the Jets, he was just another guy, you know, 11 catches, 12 catches, whatever it was. He just didn't become the receiver they thought he would be. You know, they gave him a one-year deal for $10 million, my goodness gracious, which is why he was scheduled to visit the Steelers like a day or two later, but when the Jets offered him that, he jumped on it, and I don't blame him. But, yeah, he has not shown that he was the receiver that he was with the Chargers. And I don't think he's going to come in here and be any type of savior. But I think he helps their receiving core because he is a quality receiver so long as, he shows he can, be somewhat what he used to be. A fifth-round pick seems like it could be a little high for him, given the way he played with the Jets. And when you see that DeAndre Hopkins went for a fifth-round pick. But nonetheless, I think it was a good pickup for them. And even though the price might be a pinch high, we'll see how he plays out. But at least what I see, Steve, is I see them bringing in, making two moves, and they're not standing pat. They didn't sit there and say, okay, we're 6-2, we're top of the division, we're doing okay. No, they sat there and said, look, we're 6-2, we're in this thing, let's make a couple moves to make sure we remain in this thing.
The schedule has been one thing that that certainly hasn't hurt getting to 6-2. But when you look at the remaining schedule, they've positioned themselves well. But From this point on, what are you seeing schedule-wise that the Steelers will have to fight to get to the finish line?
Well, Steve, you look at their three-game win streak to start the season. They were against teams who were 16-10 combined. You look at their current three-game win streak, it's against teams who were 7-21. Now, to their credit, they at least did what they didn't do last year, and that was beat up on the teams they should have beaten. If you go back to last year, they had that three-game skid against against the bottom feeders of the league. So they've avoided that. But now, here they head to the second half of the season, and four of the teams they're going to be facing are four of the teams with the best records in the league. The Chiefs at 8-0, the Eagles, the Ravens, and now the Commanders on Sunday. You know, probably the biggest upstart team in the league. So the schedule gets significantly more difficult. And but they position themselves. Let's say they go 4-5. Let's say they go 4-5 in the last nine games. Okay, right. That's 10 wins. Now maybe now you got your fingers crossed if you're going to get in. If you go 5-4, that's 11 wins. Chances are you're going to get in. I go back, Steve, I looked at this the other day. You have to go back to 2012 to find the last time Mike Tomlin's team finished with a losing record in the final nine games. So since then, they've been, you know, I don't know the exact record, but it's been well above 500 and I think up over 600 in their last nine games. So historically, the last nine games have been on their side. The only time they didn't have a winning record since 2012, I think it was 2021, and they were 4-4-1. Otherwise, they've had a winning record in their last nine games every year.
So when you look at Russell Wilson, he's now stepped in. Has he done anything just by being a veteran and being Russell Wilson that has allowed Arthur Smith to maybe be a little more creative as to what he does?
Absolutely. That has happened. And that's, we've already seen that in two games. They knew they were getting that with Russell Wilson. That's the reason why Stevie's a nine-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You know, he didn't get that way by accident. And so, yeah, it's not only more creative, it's more confident in what you're able to call and what you want to do. And I don't think it's any accident that the running game has flourished the last 2 weeks. Now, look, it's the running game statistically has been good. But a lot of that, too, was built with Justin Fields gaining 40, 50, 60 yards a game. Right. Well, that's not happening the last two games, and it's helped the running game because now you have to be concerned about the passing game down the sideline, which Justin Fields would do, not with the accuracy that this guy has, but the check downs, the passes over the middle, the different options that Russell Wilson can bring you. You know, the pre-snap reads, look, they're not going to do anything that he hasn't seen in 13 years. So being aware of that is going to help the running game. And now, to Najee Harris's credit, Steve, it's the best I've seen him run in 4 years. He runs free, and according to Pat Freiermuth, our old Penn State guy, he runs happy. Pat's a good friend of his, and he says he's having fun out there. And he runs like he's having fun. It's not just the bullish runs where he moves the pile 15 yards. It's the breakaway runs. You know, he has 14, 20-yard runs since last year, since the beginning of last year. Only Derrick Henry in the league has more. So, you know, that's not a part of Najee Harris's game you expect to see, but that's what we're seeing. And he's been very, very good. Props to him. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, I do too. There's also something else with Wilson. I think that's an underrated thing because you and I have been around this a long time. There's some guys that just the way they throw the ball, it's an easier ball to catch.
No question.
Yeah, and I think that with Fields, where a lot of things to me will be fastballs, Wilson's ball has a little more change of pace too. Is that fair, Jerry?
It's extremely fair. And you know, Steve, I was just saying this the other day about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
When I'm watching him, and as I'm watching the game, and I said to my wife, I said, he needs to learn pace on his ball. He's been around long enough. He just throws fastball after fastball. and you can't do that. And not only does Russell Wilson have that kind of touch, but he puts the ball where the guy is usually going to catch it in stride. The throw, the 43-yarder down the sideline the other night, last week, to George Pickens, and the 29-yard touchdown to Calvin Austin III couldn't have been more precisely thrown if they had a GPS system attached to them. It led them perfectly on passes where you're running out of room. And to me, those were just illustrations of what Russell Wilson has always done and what he can do for his receivers. And, Steve, you and I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
Great receivers don't make average quarterbacks better, but great quarterbacks make average receivers better.
Absolutely.
And that's what the Steelers, one, we're hoping to see, and two, are seeing with Russell Wilson.
Defensively, we know what T.J. Watt means. I mean, there's just no question. I mean, he's a separator from everybody else in the league. What are the dominoes, though, that you're seeing where other guys have the ability to really shine because he's getting so much attention?
Well, with the injuries they have had at outside linebacker, I think getting Alex Highsmith. Certainly helps their cause and will certainly help him. And so there's no question when he's in there, you can't pay as much attention to T.J. Watt. And also, they've been without Nick Herbig for the past three games, and then they just got Highsmith back. So when both of those guys were missing, now they could really devote a lot of attention to T.J. Watt. And his sack numbers are down, but that doesn't mean he's not disrupting the game, as we've seen with these strip sacks and fumble recoveries and punch-outs that he's had the last couple weeks. And that's how he not only can dominate the game and be a difference maker, but he influences the game so much just by his presence because of the attention they have to pay to him and always want to know where he is. And it's not like he's jumping all over the defense to figure out, okay, where's he lining? Occasionally he does. But for the most part, they know where he is, and they try to avoid him.
Yeah, because that brings me to the rest of it. We all know that since Ryan Shazier got hurt, they've been trying to get that linebacking situation solved with somebody. Do you feel like now they're at least as a group, they've done a good job of solving it, and what has Patrick Queen meant to helping them solve it?
Well, a big part, because Patrick Queen is the every down linebacker who can sideline to sideline. And you're seeing the last couple games, now that he's comfortable with the defense, the calls, and the guys around him more especially, you're seeing what impact he can have. He covers that field, extraordinarily well. And now you throw in a guy like Peyton Wilson, who's a 4-4-3 guy who can run like the wind. And now this is a guy who in second and third down situations is an asset as well. So now you've put speed in there to go with a thumper like a Landon Roberts. So that linebacker crew across the board is as good as they've had in a long, long time, knock on wood. But I think Patrick Queen is that every down guy that through all their experiments, whether it's been the going back to the Mark Barons and drafting Devin Bush and all the other failures, the John Bostic, the one-year guys who came in, tried to fit in, and then they shipped them out. Not this guy. This is the guy who can be the stabilizer and a very, if not dominant player, certainly a very productive, disruptive player in the middle of the field, and that's why they went out and signed.
Joey Porter Jr. had a productive rookie season. Is he better this year, Jerry?
Yeah, he is, Steve. When I say they're using him different, they're not always having him shadow the other guy.
Yeah.
But they are flip-flopping him and using him in different defensive formations. But, and you can tell, when I say his tackling ability, it's the fact he's making more plays around the line of scrimmage. And there's no question he's been even better. You know, numbers wise, I'm not sure that it's any different, or certainly nothing that's sitting there, leading the league. Mm-hmm. But they're completely thrilled with the guy, and they have complete confidence in him. And yeah, he is definitely even better than he was toward the second half of last year.
I'll flip it back to offense for just a moment, because I thought in the off season, to me, a good pickup was a guy like Van Jefferson. I think not awesome and incredible, but I thought a good pickup. How well has he played?
Well, certainly he's looked better with Russell Wilson, as you can imagine. And I don't mean that as a knock necessarily against Justin Fields. It's just that's what happens when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson. You know, if Van Jefferson was viewed as like, okay, a third or fourth receiver, people would think he's, is a really good pickup.
Right.
But I don't think any expectation of bringing him in and being like a number two guy, I think that was just a bit unrealistic. But you can see with Russell Wilson what they were hoping to see in Van Jefferson. And we've seen that the past couple of games. And you could say the same thing for Calvin Austin. They've been more active and more involved in the offense with Russell Wilson. So now you bring in Mike Williams, and if he can, we'll see what happens with him. Now you're looking at a receiving core, that you have four guys that you can rotate in there. I don't think Roman Wilson is going to fit in at all this year, the rookie from
right.
Michigan.
Right.
You know, injuries have just held him back. But I think that in part was one of the reasons why they signed Mike Williams. And I will tell you, they were close to getting bringing in Christian Kirk too last week or 2 weeks ago until he suffered that season-ending injury, and there went that deal. But they thought they were going to get him, and so short of that, then they, again, it's why they went out and got Mike Williams.
Well, Washington ends up with the second overall pick in the draft, and they get Jalen Daniels. They're 7-2. So what will this tell us about the Steelers this weekend as they hit that game 9 and go past the halfway mark?
Steve, that's a good question, because I think this game is going to tell us a little bit more about the Steelers. Look, one game isn't going to change who and what they are, but I think the one game can tell you who and what they are, because now you're going on the road against an upstart team where there's a lot of excitement about. They're unbeaten at home. They've been able to score a lot of points. You see the Hail Mary. That's a pass 2 weeks ago. That's just another sign of kind of like the, quote, the magic that is happening with the Commanders. And teams could ride that just the way the Houston Texans did last year with C.J. Stroud. But I think going on the road, and facing a team that is surging and facing a player who was probably hands down the rookie of the year, I think it's going to tell you, I don't want to say a lot about this football team, but it's going to tell you a little bit more about this football team. And I think it can be a significant game from that standpoint in terms of kind of deciding, okay, what are the Steelers? Are they a legitimate contender, and can this continue? Or are they going to be a team that's going to fight to be 10-7?
Always enjoyable to sit down and have great conversation with friends that know so much. Thank you so much for your time, Jerry, as always. Talk soon.
Well, you got it, Stephen. I always look forward to chatting with you, my friend.
Thank you. The great Jerry Dulac. Always great to talk with him. All right, we'll take a timeout. That guy breathing a sigh of relief is Todd Hummel.
I'm good.
Of course you're good. I showed up.
Yeah. That's all I was hoping for. I did switch it over a little early. We got a little blank space for a while.
We got a blank space for a while.
I thought I should do it before the news, but apparently I needed to let the two commercials play before the news. Had a little scramble, but we're good now.
What are you doing?
I did not get that text, which surprises me.
He's asleep.
It could be.
All right, we'll come back. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucson's with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucson's, Ford Escapes or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
With his index fingers. Very impressive. What? That was a compliment. Penn State number six. Now, have you heard me one time talk about rankings? No.
No.
Right? And every time rankings were brought up, what did I say? I said, it doesn't matter until the first college football playoff poll comes out. Then I'll talk about it. Well, there's six. Okay? Now they've got to go out and get the job done. I mean, they've got a game with Washington this week. Washington, by the way, is going to come in Friday. On all the other East Coast games, they have gone out Thursday. But because the game is at 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock Pacific, they're going to come in Friday. So they feel that that is more of a normal schedule for them. And they're going to fly into State College, and they're actually going to fly back out of Harrisburg. Again, way to the plane, that's why.
I'd love to know what UCLA's feeling is about flying in on Friday and playing that noon game after they've done it.
You know, it's just, I think everything depends on what your pattern is. I don't know, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. And you know what? I thought for the most part they played. I thought UCLA actually played decently against Penn State, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't see it as being an issue. I just.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's a good question. I agree with you.